97.5, The Fanatic.
Hello.
Into the 10 o'clock hour here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Pat Egan, Tyler Zulli, Nat Marler producing the show. Having a little fun talking some Sixers, talking some Eagles. Which team do you feel more comfortable in moving forward? And I guess the question really is, Pat, we've kind of talked about it in the first hour. Why do we have confidence in the Eagles over the Sixers? Because, or let me rephrase that. Why do we have more confidence in the Sixers over the Eagles, despite the fact that we trust the coach a lot more than we do for the Sixers?
I think it's because you can easily replace a coach, even though the Sixers are making that extremely difficult to do right now. But you understand why they fire coaches. It seems like a lot of times coaches and GMs are tied to each other. So when you fire one, you usually fire both. But usually the GM is the one making the decision, and he's the one who fires the coach. So looking at it, my issue with the Eagles isn't the coach. It's the GM.
Right.
He's the one pulling the strings. He's the puppet master. My issues with the Sixers is the coach, and it's not the GM. I like the GM. And with the Sixers case, the GM, this Brett Brown isn't his guy. He didn't give Brett Brown that contract extension. He isn't married to Brett Brown. He isn't his hand-picked coach. We talked about it a little bit in the 9 o'clock hour about how front offices will a lot of times be so stubborn and hard-headed with their decisions because they want to be right so badly. Well, and this is a situation where I'm sure Al wants to get his own guy in there if he can, but he's dragging his feet for whatever reason. Maybe he thinks that Brett will fix this. Maybe he doesn't want to make a rash decision of firing a coach mid-season, because we talked about that a little bit. But when you look at the Eagles, their issue is definitely not head coach. I think it's just Howie and his talent evaluation with a lot of guys.
You think Elton's got a guy? You think he's got a guy in mind?
Yeah, I do. I think he currently coaches Duke.
Really?
I don't think he would come.
I was going to say, do you think he'll pull himself away from a team he's been with forever?
I don't think he's ever pulling himself away from Duke.
I mean, you have to ask.
Exactly.
If you don't ask,
you have to make the phone call. You have to make the phone call. It's like Margot Robbie walks by. Hey, I got to ask if she wants to go get drinks.
She's not gonna say
yes,
no,
but I gotta ask, because you just never know. Maybe she's in the mood for a guy who's 5'3". You just never know, Tyler.
All right.
So you gotta ask.
I think I know.
Yeah, I think I know too. You gotta ask. But I think in his ideal world, Duke guys are weird, man. Duke guys are like a fraternity. They're so close knit, and they buy in so much to that Duke brotherhood thing. I think if Coach K were to call Elton Brand up and say, "Yeah, I'd coach this team," in a heartbeat, it would be done. It's never going to happen.
Interesting.
He's in such a good spot at Duke. He's a god at Duke. Why would you come to the NBA? There's no point. It's like Gino Auriemma moving on from UConn to coach guys. It's never going to happen. You got a good thing going with coaching women's basketball. It's Jay Wright's a similar thing. Jay Wright, I think, actually would move on to the NBA. If
Jay Wright's also young.
Right. He's
the other
younger.
Two guys you've mentioned are not young.
Yeah, but
so Jay Wright's got time to establish himself as an NBA coach, or he wants to move on to different pastures. That's the difference, I think. Coach K's in his 70s, right?
Yeah.
And Auriemma is the same
Jay
way.
Jay Wright's actually older than I thought. He's 58.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
I would have pegged him for younger 50s.
Yeah, he's good for 58, and I'm a Nova hater.
Wears
so
great suits.
Yeah, I'm aware. All right, let's go to Eric in Richboro. Eric, you're on the Fanatic.
All right, boys. I think I figured out Ben Simmons' jump shot issue here.
This should be good. Go ahead.
I was scrolling through Instagram today, looking at stories, and he's got a bunch of posts about where to donate for the Australian wildfires. And I figured if we start a petition/GoFundMe for every jump shot he shoots, every fan donates $1 to the Australian wildfires. So, I mean, if there's 100,000 fans and he shoots 5 jump shots, we all donate $5, and it all goes to a good cause, so maybe it'll get him motivated to actually try shooting jump shots.
You know, I like your thought process here, just because it's out of the box, and you're trying to get something out of Ben Simmons that he doesn't want. And by the way, everyone should donate to that, because it's horrible what's going on in Australia. But I don't think he's going to go for that, Eric. I really don't.
I know. I just want him to shoot a jump shot. That's all I want.
You know, and Eric, coming into this season, my thing wasn't so much the jump shot. I just wanted him to improve his free throw percentage because his ability to drive the lane is unparalleled. And, you know, he gets the line. He's not a good free throw shooter. So if he could improve his free throw percentage, I was a bigger fan of that. You know, Brett comes out after games and says, tell whoever needs to hear this, I want him shooting a three a game. I don't need a three a game, but I agree. If he wants to improve everything, for me, it's in order. It's free throw percentage, jump shot, and then worry about 3-point shooting. But I think, unfortunately, I think under this current coach, you're not going to get it because he's extremely comfortable under Brett Brown.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I don't think he's going to shoot a jump shot regardless of what we try to do or the coach tells him because he's pretty much been given a pass all these years now, honestly.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Eric, which organization, though, do you have the most confidence in? Is it the Eagles or the Sixers?
I do have the most confidence in the Sixers, like you said earlier before the break. Elton Brand's guy isn't Brett Brown, and I think I've been a Brett Brown guy forever. But, yeah, I don't think Phil Jackson was Michael Jordan's coach when he first started in the league, was he?
No, it was Doug Collins.
And so I think that change gets made, and hopefully it has the Phil Jackson-Michael Jordan effect on our young, budding superstars on our team. And the Eagles are just old. Like, it's a lot of work to get those guys to become younger than it is to get young guys to play better.
Yeah, and Eric, thanks for the phone call. I think that's one of the issues that a lot of people have with the Eagles is the fact that they are old. They're not getting younger. It's tough.
And they're old at key spots. I mean, outside of the quarterback position, you've got a young quarterback, obviously. You've got a young running back. But they're old at offensive line. They're old at defensive line. They're old at safety.
Yeah.
Those are some, I mean, massive spots.
Yeah, and the safety position.
They've got a lot of older players at.
Your safety position, your guy wants a contract extension.
I
don't blame him at all. I mean, you play every snap for the past 5 years.
Not only that, but he has total leverage. Everything that he is going to say to the Eagles will not be able to rebuke. He's going to come up and say, I played every snap. They're going to go, yeah, I guess that's factually correct. Can't do anything about that. He's also going to say, what do you got behind me?
And that's the issue is they haven't, you know, they did such a good job in the early 2000s with their secondary. Because in the 2002 draft, you look at the 2002 draft, it's bad. Not for the Eagles, but for the league. That first round was rough for a lot of teams. A lot of busts go on in that 2002 draft. The Eagles hit, and Andy Reid hit especially well in 2002, where you take Lito Shepard, you take Sheldon Brown, 1-2, and right off the bat, that's going to replace Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor. They were able to learn under those guys for 2 years. Once their contracts were up, they said, thanks, Troy, enjoy Buffalo. Bobby, I think he went to Seattle, I want to say.
Jacksonville?
Maybe it might have been Jacksonville. Wherever it wasn't here. And they ushered in those guys, those young guns. They also took Michael Lewis in that draft, and some Brian guy who was a running back from a local school.
No, you were right. It was Seattle.
It was Seattle. Okay. Yeah. So they set themselves up, though, so well and had heir apparents ready to go. And that was a luxury that they had because of the fact that their team was loaded. The Eagles were in a similar situation. Their team was loaded. And you could have set it up. And they kind of did with drafting Andre Dillard, who didn't necessarily need to start right away because of Jason Peters. And usually when you take a guy, especially a left tackle or a right tackle for that matter, in the first round, they're usually starting from day one. Andre Dillard didn't need to do that. So they set themselves up in that aspect, but they've ignored the safety position for years.
But there's a massive difference. You talk about the setting themselves up in 2002. So play 2002.
It was only 18 years ago.
Play 2002, 3 years back, who did they draft? Donovan McNabb. It's your franchise quarterback with the number 2 overall pick. Go 3 years from 2016 when Carson Wentz was drafted. That's 2019. Here's the difference between the two. I know that they've gotten to the point where they're now able to make their own picks because the trade has stopped, but they had to sell the farm to move up to get Carson Wentz. They didn't have to do anything to draft Donovan McNabb. All they had to do was say, all right, Cleveland, make your pick. We're taking the other quarterback.
Yeah.
They had to move up. And
that couch guy turned out real well.
Listen, and whether he was good or not,
he was terrible.
They were going to take him if he was there. If the Browns took McNabb, they were going to take Tim Couch.
I know. I often think about the fact, because if you remember, the Browns were an expansion team. And I often think about the Eagles should have had the number one pick who would they have taken?
They may have taken Couch.
They may have taken Couch. They might have taken McNabb.
But so here's what I'm going to say. If the Eagles would have drafted second and the Los Angeles Rams said we're taking Carson Wentz, the Eagles were taking Jared Goff. You move up all that high, you're not drafting a quarterback.
Now,
so they were hamstrung to not have the draft picks to begin with.
And they said right out the gate that they had a pretty good idea of who the Rams were taking.
Oh, I'm sure they probably did.
Yeah, you hope,
I don't
right?
think they... I really, truly don't believe they wanted Goff. I think it was Wentz or nothing, which is why they moved up.
Yeah, I have an idea that they didn't want Goff either. Goff was kind of gross. But you're right. I mean, they traded a bunch of picks. You look at it, though, their picks haven't become much, but you still have neglected certain positions on this team for years, whether it be linebacker, whether it be secondary help. You've had to go out and you've had to address that in free agency the way that they've done. So they're in a situation where, yeah, their team is older and they're going to need to figure it out because their window is still very much open. Unfortunately for...
Is it?
I think so. I think it is. I think it's still open. I think with a young 26, 27-year-old quarterback, it's got to be open. It might not be open for certain positions.
I think Wentz makes it open by himself, but I don't know how much it really, quite honestly, I don't know how much it really is. I mean, if you look at the guys that they drafted over the last 4 years, it's not great.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. But even after all that, I think it's fixable. I think it's very fixable. If you hit on a couple of the guys this upcoming year, for all the crap that I gave Dallas Goedert, he actually ended up having statistically a decent year. Statistically.
They've made 10 picks over the last 2 years. I would say that three are going to be stars or close to it, and then the rest of them might be borderline starters. I think Goedert is a star in the making, whether it's here or somewhere else. I think that Miles Sanders can be a star running back, and I do truly believe that Andre Dillard is a star tackle waiting to be played.
I hope you're right.
The rest of them, I don't have any faith in. Even Maddox and Josh Sweat.
Josh Sweat, I think they have a player in. I do like Josh Sweat. But when you look at the other positions, so you look at a tight end, they're good. Left tackle, they're good. Right tackle, they're good. So that's off the bat. Guard, you can fix. Center is the issue with me because does Jason Kelce come back?
I don't think he does.
If Jason Kelce doesn't come back, that's an issue. And I don't know
if he's going to.
How many years is a guy going to sit here and contemplate retirement until finally he says, look, I'm done. I did everything. And he did. He did everything. So you also play a position that you get hit in the head more than just about any other position, too. As a player, you've got to be terrified of that. CTE is a real thing. You just saw John Urschel of the Baltimore Ravens retire after 4 years in the league. And he was playing at a high level. It wasn't like he needed to.
There's a difference between... I think John Urschel's a special type of player.
Because he's a genius.
Because he's a mathematician genius.
But my point of it is, that is a position where I think out of all the positions, you're going to see guys say, is it worth it?
Right.
I'm going to get in, I'm going to get my money, and I'm going to get out. And Jason Kelce got in, got his money, got a ring. It's like how
all
long,
pro.
Yeah, what else does he have to prove other than just for love of the game? So you might have to fill that position. You're going to need a linebacker help, you're going to need that, defensive end help. The defensive tackle position, we haven't even talked about Malik Jackson. Malik Jackson's 2 years removed from having a good season. Coming off an injury this season.
He'll be back at least.
He'll be back, but we don't know at what cost. He could be great. He could suck. He could revert back to the guy that Jacksonville let go.
You're not wrong.
This roster has question marks out the you-know-what. And then wide receiver, this bugs the hell out of me, man. Because if they had just hit, on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, we're not probably having this conversation. But I can't reiterate this enough. You miss on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and it changes the landscape of your offseason plans. Because now you're sitting here going, all right, we can't rely on that guy. Now, they're going to come out and say all the right things. They're going to come out and say that they have faith in him. They don't. They don't because a guy like DeAndre Barnett, who they picked off the scrap heap from the YMCA league, got more snaps than he did. That should tell you all you need to know about the confidence level in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside on this team.
And not only that, I mean, listen, if you draft a guy in the second round, you clearly have something that you like in him. My issue is when you go to pick 167, and I know that it's a crapshoot at this point, but you go to pick 167 and you take Clayton Thorson out of Northwestern,
which made no sense.
Garbage. And then five picks later, Darius Slayton gets drafted to the New York Giants. By the way, had a pretty nice rookie season. Looks like he's got some promise. Kasean Johnson is a decent receiver. He had 21 catches for the Cardinals this year. I mean, there's receivers in the fifth and sixth round that were being drafted.
Yep.
That are better usage than Clayton Thorson.
So I'm going to read off, and before we get to Calvin, and then we got Mo and Gene after Calvin there. In 2008, they lucked out. Whether you want to credit the organization or not, I think they lucked out. Because in 2008, in the second round, they had two picks. And they took Trevor Laws with their first, which was terrible. With their second round pick, they took some guy named DeSean Jackson. That worked out, right? And you look at the second round of that draft, wide receivers went all over the place. So it starts out with Donnie Avery from Houston, who had a pretty good year until he tore his ACL. Devin Thomas was terrible. Jordy Nelson was good. He was the other good wide receiver in that draft. These are all guys who went before DeSean. James Hardy, Eddie Royal, Jerome Simpson. And then finally, I think DeSean Jackson was the seventh wide receiver taken. They lucked out because all these wide receivers get taken and they got one of the only good ones in that draft, right? You look at this second round of this previous year, it's the exact opposite because Deebo Samuel goes. After him, you've got A.J. Brown goes. Mecole Hardman goes. Then finally, right after Mecole Hardman, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Paris Campbell goes. Andy Isabella goes. D.K. Metcalf goes. I would take literally any other wide receiver taken in the second round other than this guy who can't play.
Right. So here's what I'm looking at here. I'm just going to take a guess, just a guess as to how many players, not just receivers, how many players had more catches than J.J. Arcega-Whiteside this season.
Oh, God. This is going to, my blood pressure's raising, I can tell.
Uh-oh.
How many players in general, like in the league?
Yeah, no, that were drafted in the 2019 draft.
How many were drafted, first of all?
In total?
Yeah.
I think it's like 200 and something. But this is just,
I would say,
a quick check.
72.
It's not that high. I'm trying to lock down a number here because it's not in as good of an order as I would like.
It's substantial, though.
The leading receiver in terms of catches was Deontay Johnson from the Steelers at 59. But there are running backs. Miles Sanders had more catches. There are tight ends, multiple tight ends, that had more catches. Travis Homer, who didn't really start playing until, the third to last week of the season, had more catches. The running back from the Seahawks.
It's troubling, man. And it changes your whole outlook on this offseason because now it's another position that you have to address. It's not as simple as, we're going to get rid of Alshon. Because that's a real thing you need to do. But now you need to get rid of Alshon on top of the fact you need to address that position again because this guy can't play. And you've got DeSean Jackson, who's an aging wide receiver. Like, what the hell are they going to do? They royally messed that up.
Well, and I think that the issue is, especially with Alshon, there's so many people that look at Alshon and go, oh, yeah, you just got him. It's okay. Do you know how much
it's not that simple. They'll find a way to get rid of him.
Well, yeah, it's going to be, here's what I said the other day. It's going to be a trade. I think maybe you and I, or maybe it was Andrew and myself that were talking about this.
We don't talk off air.
It's fine. We were discussing that if you're going to get a trade, you're going to trade Alshon Jeffrey and a fourth round pick and get a sixth round pick back.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to get somebody to take the cap space.
Yeah, that's what you're going to have to do. Let's go to Calvin in West Philly. Calvin, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Calvin. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. The Kansas City Chiefs. I'm an Eagles fan. I just want to say that. Born and raised in Philly. However, I'm rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, my Eagles, they're no longer in the playoffs. And at the same time, I'm not one of these people in this area who holds these big-time grudges against Andy Reid. Because when you hear some of these people, when they talk about Andy Reid, they act as if Andy Reid did something to their personal life that ruined their personal life, even though these people don't even know him. But at the same time, I would like to ask you guys, why is it that when it comes to Andy Reid, I mean, people get very personal. I've seen a couple of tweets and things online attacking the man, not because of the what he's doing with Kansas City, but because, you know, physically, because of the way the man looks. I don't understand that. And these people, they're from this area.
Yeah, you know what it is, man. It's just Twitter tough guys who, for whatever reason, have a grudge against the guy. Look, right. I agree with you, Calvin. Once the Eagles were out, I want Andy to win, because whether you like Andy or not, he is one of the better coaches in NFL history. He's going to the Hall of Fame, and he gave this city a ton of good years, ton of them. And you could have been the Cleveland Browns, and you weren't, because the organization hired the quarterback's coach from the Green Bay Packers, and it ended up working out. And I think a lot of it, honestly, subconsciously has to do with the fact that while it worked out, he didn't take the guy the city wanted in Ricky Williams with his first draft. He takes Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb is a hot button topic on his own, but
and probably a little bit because, well, he didn't get the Super Bowl. I understand,
and that's the big part of it. That's the other big part of it is he didn't win here. He won plenty, but he didn't win the one thing you needed to win.
But for people to attack him because of the way he physically looks, these are not 15 and 16 year old children. We're talking about grown men and women attacking Andy Reid. These are not children. These are grown men and women attacking him because of the way he looks. It's a joke.
I mean, unfortunately, and Calvin, thanks for the phone call, man. Unfortunately, it's just the day and age we live in. You know, it's the repercussions of no one's coming for you on Twitter. You're able to do it. You're able to just throw balls. I had it today.
Tough guys.
I had some guy like putting words in my mouth and then just insulting me left and right. And it's like, I'm never going to meet that guy. He's never going to meet me. So he knows he can get away with it. It's just, it's unfortunately, it's the reality, especially when you're a celebrity too. They're going to come after you. But I've always been a big Andy Reid fan. He gave me a lot of good years growing up as a kid and a teen and an adult. So, he also went through a lot of stuff with obviously his kids. I don't wish that upon any guy and or any woman for that matter. But he gave this city a lot of good years, and I for one really hope that he finally brings it home, because he's too good of a coach to not win.
He had his shortcomings.
Clock
management was a shortcoming. Throwing the ball too much was a shortcoming.
He just took a timeout right now.
Not drafting. Yeah. Not drafting receivers when he had the ultimate kind of say as the GM of the team, not helping McNabb. He had a shortcut. Of course he did.
But every coach does.
Of course. Listen, we could be in the situation that Cincinnati Bengals fans are in right now. That team stunk and hung on to Marvin Lewis for 743 years.
Oh, I know.
And his 0-9 playoff record.
I know. It's a trick.
Could be Browns fans right now.
Could be. Yeah.
Andy Reid brought this city a lot of good things.
It did.
The only thing he didn't bring them was a Super Bowl. And
you know, and you ended up getting that.
Neither did any of the other coaches prior to him.
Yeah, he ended up getting that. And by the way, he's a big reason why Doug Peterson is here, because of the fact that he was under Andy Reid. And Jeffrey Lurie went outside the box with Chip Kelly. He wanted to go back to what he was comfortable with in Andy Reid. He calls up his buddy Andy Reid. Hey, what's the deal with this Doug Peterson guy? He's great. You'll love him. Hire him. He hires him. We all thought he was the village idiot. Ends up bringing us the ultimate trophy. So 6-1-0.
Real quick, if you don't mind. Speaking of a coach under Andy Reid right now, somebody please give Eric Bieniemy a job. Please.
He'll get one eventually.
He continually gets passed up.
Hey, man, Josh McDaniels needs one first.
I would take Eric Bieniemy's hat before I took Josh McDaniels.
I hate Josh McDaniels. 610-632-0975. Mo and Gene, you guys will be up next as soon as we come back from the break. So just sit tight. And then it's you guys out there. It's Pat Egan, Tyler Zuli, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, I want to give a Twitter poll update coming up shortly, but Mo and Gene have been patient enough, so let's start off with Mo on and from Richboro. You're on The Fanatic. What's going on, Mo?
Yo, what's up, Pat? How you doing?
Good, Mo. How are you?
Good. I just want to talk about like a little bit of Eagles roster moves. As for like how you were talking about Alshon, look, hear me out, right? The Bills have one of the biggest, like, salary caps to date. We all know Josh Allen needs a wide receiver. They'll draft one. But if we send him and, like, a 5 or maybe a 4, because we have that one from Sendejo in the comp pick, we could get rid of Alshon off a roster. So that's number one for me. And
that's my biggest, like, you have to do this offseason is just get Alshon off the roster.
What are you getting back?
I'll take a 6 at this point.
So I'm glad you said that. So you do realize that when they make that trade, they're getting the worst of the two picks.
Yes,
okay, yeah. So I think the reason I say that, I think there's people out there that say, oh, well, Alshon's a player, and if they give up a 5, they should get a 4, and it's not going to work that way with the money.
Oh, there's absolutely people out there.
No, absolutely not, because to offload his salary, it's very similar to the NBA. If you want to offload the salary, you have to, like, there has to be some give and take here.
Yeah, this is going to end up being the deal where the Sixers got the Kings pick and Nick Stauskas because they just took on salary. And you're right. You're not getting much, but you need him off because at this point, let's hypothetically say he isn't the mole, right? And all the Josina Anderson stuff is just overblown. Even if you're saying that, it's already out there and no one's buying it anyway. So you got to get him off the roster just on that alone, because you can't have a roster where no one has faith in what's supposed to be your number one wide receiver. And you've got people in the locker room who are questioning off, you know, camera about the quarterback who, like him or not, is your franchise quarterback. You can't have that guy in the roster. Everyone needs to have faith in the guy who's under center.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because, like you said, like, he just needs to be gone. Even Tim McManus said that he has put on his uniform for the last time way back when, before his Lisfranc injury. You know, like, I'm done with Alshon, number one. And then I wanted to hear your feedback about this, right? So we have a young buck in Jordan Mailata.
Yeah.
While we also have Andre Dillard at the left tackle position. So Mailata was drafted to be a tackle.
Yep.
Now, what would you think of having Mailata as a fullback?
Mo, it's funny you bring that up, man. I actually hypothetically brought that up last season of not every down, but bringing him up.
What, using him in, like, the I form?
Yeah, on, like, goal line stances because of the fact he played rugby. He's played with the ball in his hand. He knows how to run forward. He's athletic enough. I kind of brought it up. It was one of those comments you make, and you make it off air hoping to God that no one laughs at you. And you plead your case on whether to go on air or not with it. And people are like, all right, like, I can see your point.
Did you sit and, like, weigh that in your head before the show started? Like, not this particular show, but when you thought about it?
Oh, yeah. I thought to myself, this is either going to be one of the dumbest things I've ever said, and I've said a lot of dumb things, or it could make sense. Well, and in my head, it made sense.
In your head, it makes sense. And now I have to say out loud that it's not a good idea.
Tell me why.
Because you're wasting a roster spot for a positional player that is only going to play 4 snaps. When you are, like we talked about, you're desperately in need of positional depth at other places.
So, let me explain a little more, though. It was, he's on the roster as a tackle. You would bring him in goal line situations
so
when need be.
You're dressing him as a tackle.
You're dressing him as a backup tackle who could come in on goal line situations if you need one and punch it through if it's a 4th-and-1 and you don't want to risk your quarterback putting his head down. You're not putting him on the roster just as a strict goal line situation.
That's what I'm saying. You're not just going to use him as, like, you're not going to list him as a running back.
No.
And give him, like, number 27.
No, I would never do that. But I think he's athletic enough where he could be versatile enough to handle that. Now, I wouldn't transfer him to fullback. I think at this point, Mailata is a reserve tackle at best. He's still learning the position, you have to remember. I do wonder, this is going to be a big year for him.
I think he's a dress tackle next year. I think he, with the fact that Peters is probably not back, I would imagine that he may be a dress tackle this upcoming season. Because I don't know if Vitae's back. I think he should be, but I don't know if he is.
I think they should trade Vitae.
I think Vitae gets a starting look somewhere.
I think you can get a lot for Vitae. And I'm not talking like a 1st or 2nd round pick, but you could probably get a 3rd for Vitae.
But here's the thing. If Peters walks, you don't know the status of Kelce, and you're going to give up Vitae?
Well, that's a
large turnaround on the offensive line.
At that point, you probably do know the status of Kelce. You probably do. And that's going to change everything.
Well, by April, I'm sure you probably do.
Jason Kelce isn't a guy who's going to screw you over and retire in, I don't know, July. So because of that, you probably do. Let's go to Gene in Northeast Philly. He's been waiting patiently. Gene, you're on the Fanatic. Thanks for waiting, bud.
No problem. Got a little bit here, so hope you hear me out.
Yeah, no problem.
So I think the Eagles are in a better spot, but I think they're both terrible, and I'll explain. So the Eagles, in the last few years, Sidney Jones, terrible pick. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, terrible pick. Donnell Pumphrey. You guys went through it. Clayton Thorson, what were we thinking? Tons of those. Like, Eagles can't draft, not to mention all the bad contracts for old wide receivers. You guys said most of this. And yet the 76ers are still in a worse position. You have two players. First of all, the team's fundamentally built wrong. You have two players that cannot play together, and superstars in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. You have a team that's built for 80s basketball with nobody that can shoot except Furkan Korkmaz. I honestly believe that the Philadelphia GMs, Howie Roseman, Mike Mack and Elton Brand are the worst that you can in any sports city. I just don't understand how it's possible to be this bad. The Tobias Harris trade might have been the worst trade ever made.
I think that's a stretch. I don't think it was the worst trade ever made because what you gave up was realistically. I mean, the Heat pick is going to be good. And what I mean by that, I should clarify that. The Heat are going to be good. Their pick isn't going to be very good. Their pick will be somewhere in the teens, if not the 20s. So I was a fan of giving that pick up because I didn't foresee a future where Pat Riley would allow his team to be so bad where that pick ended up being a top pick.
Okay.
But I didn't like giving up Shamet. Unfortunately, you needed to give him up because he along with the pick. They were the big pieces to get Tobias Harris. I do like Tobias Harris, and as I said, I think he's always going to be on the outside looking in on the All-Star conversation. I think he'd be lucky to make one. I think he's a really nice piece. But the reason I say the trade's so bad is
because you made that trade, you had to max him because you couldn't lose him and Jimmy Butler, and he's a terrible max contract. So yes, you're right. It's not like. If you just broke down the trade, like the Andrew Bynum trade was terrible. He never played for us. But the Tobias Harris trade was so bad that you had to max him in order to keep him here after giving up two first Shamet. He's a terrible max player.
You kind of put yourself into a hole there, and you're right. They did need to max him, and you're right, he's not a max player. Keep in mind, though, look around the NBA, and there's plenty of guys on max contracts that probably shouldn't be. It's amazing when you look at this roster. He is the highest paid guy on the team, and he's the third best option. But he's the third best option because Ben and Joel are just better than him. And he's a guy that can carry you at nights. Unfortunately, it looks like the nights where they lose like they did last night, he doesn't really show up. And that's the issue I have is you have to – if you're going to be a max player, which he is – then you need to carry this team, along with Ben, by the way, who didn't show up last night. You need to carry this team when Joe is out.
Ben's biggest problem, and I was I was hammering their Twitter. The Sixers should have traded Ben Simmons for the number two pick last year and took John Morant. John Morant's going to be a superstar in the NBA, and he's a true point guard that's going to, man, I don't know what I would give for John. I have a fascination with John Morant. I wish he was on the Sixers. I would take him for Ben straight up. There's no way Memphis would do that.
Yeah, Gene, thanks for the phone call, man. I'm still not selling Ben.
One of those statements is true. Ja Morant's going to be a superstar, sure.
I love his attitude. And by the way, that's another player that we talked about a little earlier about how players have that dog mentality because they fought and clawed their way. Morant is the carbon copy of that.
It's Murray State.
Yeah, anytime you go from Murray State, whether you're C.J. McCollum or Damian Lillard, Weber State, Lehigh, when you're not going to one of the big schools, Ben Simmons went to LSU, not exactly known as, a hotbed for basketball. He could have went anywhere he wanted to offer. they had to deal with what they were given, whether it be these smaller schools, and they made good on it. And they have that fight in them that you want from a player, and you see it in Morant, who has the ability to posterize a guy and wants to take it no matter if he's going to score or not. I love the dog in that guy.
By the way, we talked about Tobias making the max contract. There are 17 players currently constructed that make more money than Tobias Harris does. I'll run you down some of the players. I'll ask you, would you take Tobias or the other player?
Yeah, and I want to break down, too, one of the issues with Ben and Joe and why maybe Brett Brown is still here. Even though he's not Elton Brand's guy, why he could possibly be still here. I have a hypothesis on that. We also need to give a Twitter poll update, which we'll probably give in the 11 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975. It's Adam, Joe, then you guys. Patty and Tyler Zulli, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Pat Egan, Tyler Zulli on until midnight with you guys, talking Eagles and Sixers. Do want to let you guys know that the holiday gift-giving season is over, but the Fanatic Pro Shop is open for business. Now that you are finished buying gifts for everyone else, it's time to buy something for you. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices. The Fanatic Pro Shop can be found at 97.5thefanatic.com, so stock up for Presidents Day.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool stuff there.
Yes,
and like I like some of the like Fanatic exclusive stuff.
I also like the stuff that doesn't have the Fanatic, like the just the 975 Fanatic. Like we have some cool shirts that let it be known you're a Philadelphia sports fan,
right?
And I like
four
that.
For fours and stuff. Like
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty
you
cool.
know, where if you're walking in another city and someone from Philadelphia sees it, they're gonna know what you're talking about. So. And you kind of have that connection. You give each other a nod, and then you walk off never talking to the person again. All right, let's go to Adam in Germantown. Adam, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
I was checking out the NBA rumors daily, and they're talking about how Elton Brand is trying to work on a deal, which people have heard about, in terms of the other players. I think Luke Kennard and Langston Galloway from Detroit.
Yeah, I think Keith Pompey from the Inquirer put that out yesterday. That
right.
Those are two players they're heavily interested in.
There is a surprise in this. They're trying to use the $8 million salary of Ben Simmons. They want to unload him and play Kennard at point guard. He played mostly point guard at Duke. His usage rate was high enough. He's a shooting guard by trade, but he played point guard basically at Duke. He's become a much better playmaker, and they're basically giving up. They're trying to give up on Ben Simmons and Zaire Smith for this deal. Well, whatever. That would be coming from the Sixers and an exchange of first round picks. Whichever one is higher would go to Detroit, and whichever one is higher would go to the Sixers in a first round pick exchange, and whichever one meaning is the better first round pick would go to the Sixers.
I would be at this point. I'd be shocked if they traded Ben Simmons. Still,
okay. Well, then you might be shocked because I can't believe it. Because if that'll be two number one picks traded. But you know what? Here's the lesson learned if they do this. Because he's already signed, sealed, and delivered on a max deal in July to them. And that is a big payoff for them because they are able to go over the luxury tax with no penalty. And I just want to say that will be Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons, all right? Both number one picks and both failures.
Yeah, and Adam, there's the moment. I still don't think Ben Simmons is a failure. He's 23. I'm just not ready. Markelle Fultz was a failure in the sense of I don't think anyone could have projected. He goes down and starts working with his high school basketball coach, his AAU coach or whatever, and screws up a shot. Call me crazy. I don't think that was in the cards. You can make the comment that he didn't have a great workout, and that's true. But his shot was messed up because of one thing, and that's an AAU coach who he worked with and trusted. And I wish him all the best in Orlando, but I at this point, I'm not ready to even compare the two. One is the Rookie of the Year and an All-Star, and yes, he absolutely has his shortcomings. I'm not going to be ignorant to those, but that is one of the reasons why I say I would be shocked if they trade and give up on Ben Simmons at this point.
I don't even know if shock's the word. I might be appalled because that's not smart at all to get rid of your point guard at this point, at this stage of the game. You want to talk about cohesiveness? That's a total upheaval. I mean, they would go from finally having what they consider their team to bringing in some guy that's, and listen, he just admitted, is not a true point guard by nature. Kennard's a shooting guard by nature. I know he can play the point. I have no interest in that trade whatsoever.
Yeah, I think if Kennard comes here, it's more of just a backup point guard as a shooting guard, guy off the bench, because they don't need a starter. They at this point, they do not need starters. They need bench pieces. They desperately need bench pieces. Their bench is not good enough. Just is not. It's bad. It's a bad bench. They don't have the Lou Williams type. Granted, no one else does except the Los Angeles Clippers, but they don't have that guy who comes off the bench and drops 16 consistently. You need that. And you get
the problem
first hand every once in a while, but he's streaky.
Not a lot of teams have that. There's a reason that Lou Williams wins Sixth Man of the Year pretty much every year.
You know what he named his kid?
I don't know.
Six.
He named his child Six.
What?
Like as in Sixth Man?
I think it's spelled like Nikki Six. It's S-Y-Y-X maybe? Yeah, he named it, yeah, after the fact that he wins Sixth Man of the Year. What would I give to have him on
the
team?
I'm going
to
look that up.
I swear, I'm not lying to you.
No, I believe me. I believe you.
But my point is they don't have, you don't even need that. You just need more consistency. And you look at their bench last night, and it's not exactly a murderer's row. Norvell Pell, 4 points. Granted, he's a shot blocker. James Ennis, 0 points in 12 minutes. Raul Neto, he made his impact felt in those 3 minutes. He had 2 points. Trey Burke, 7 points in 10 minutes. Matisse, 2 points in 20 minutes. 2 points for Shake in 3 minutes. 2 points for Furkan in 16 minutes. They want Furkan to be that guy.
Of course
he's not.
Because they desperately need to look at that draft and go that Furkan, while he's not Pascal Siakam, at least he is a good contributor to our team.
Oh my God, that's
they
draft.
Need that to be able to say that little glimpse of hope, that glimmer of hope.
All right, before we break, and Joe, we'll get to you on the other side. Just sit with us, sit tight with us, because we do have to hit a break, unfortunately. But I want to bring up this thought that I had about maybe why Brett Brown is still here. And it doesn't just have to do with the fact that you don't fire coaches midseason in the NBA, because we've heard that ad nauseum. But a lot of times coaches are ushered out because the leaders on the team go to ownership and say, We can't play under this guy. You saw it happen with Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly would have never been fired midseason had DeMarco Murray not hit up Jeffrey Lurie on a plane ride and said, yo, Holmes, this ain't working out with this guy. Next thing you know, he's fired. Pat Shermer is the interim head coach. And Philadelphia sports explodes. You're looking at a coach in Brett Brown who is very well liked, not just by the media, because you get that a lot of like, oh, you media types love Brett Brown because he talks to you while he's jogging. We do.
Admittedly. Can't say that Brett Brown's he's a nice guy.
He's a great guy.
He's a really good guy. What do you want to say? But he talks well.
You're also looking at a coach who's well liked by his players.
Right.
Now, part of that is he's just a likable guy, but part of that is they know what they can get away with. And what I'm getting at here is you're never going to have your leadership in Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons go to ownership and say, we need a change. It's not going to happen. This is the only coach they've known. In Ben Simmons' case, he's known Brett for a long time because of his relationship with his dad. Joel Embiid, this is the only coach he's known, and he really likes Brett. But one of the issues why they like him is they know that they can get away with stuff with this guy. There is not a lot of accountability. There hasn't been a lot of accountability with Brett Brown, dating back to guys like Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel when they were the core with this team.
Well, and
Michael Carter-Williams when he was with the core with this team.
And the issue is, you bring up accountability, it gets us back to that conversation about bad third quarters, where we look at it and they say that, well, we had a bad third quarter run. And
they always have a bad third quarter.
The other team had a lot of energy coming out. And whatever the case may be, there's always a lack of accountability, especially in the third quarter. We talked about it earlier. I do want to get to that at some point in the 11 o'clock hour, if that's cool with you, is just run down what happened in the third quarter, because this happens constantly. They have no say in how they come out flat in the third quarter.
I'll say this, and I know we're really up against it, so Mike and Joe, once again, just sit tight with us, but if you want to make money, just bet against the Sixers in the third quarter, and you will come out on top, because they are a horrendous third quarter team. And you just sit back as a fan and go, what the hell is this guy saying to these guys where they come out this flat after halftime?
Or what's not being said. Because quite honestly, I wanted to be inside the Dallas locker room yesterday, because when you look at the Sixers, there was an unsustainable inconsistency. They were 10 of 31 from the field in the first quarter. They led by 2. They weren't much better in the second quarter. They led by 10.
Yeah.
So I want to know what was said in the Dallas locker room by Rick Carlisle, who's a well-respected coach and a good coach.
Former coach of the year.
That got his guys fired up to come out of the chute and bang, 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 it's a tie ball game.
Oh, you mean his guys like Kleber and Finney Smith?
Finney Smith, yeah.
And Powell? You mean those household names? I'd like to know, too. 610-632-0975. Joe and Mike, you guys are up next, and it's you guys. It's Pat Egan, Tyler Zulli, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.